You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, a Timberwolves site on the Fan Sided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Draft Eve. The draft gets underway Wednesday evening, of course. Can't wait for that. What we're going to do today is primarily a mock draft that I did with a good friend of mine and a huge basketball fan and an knowledgeable college basketball fan. And his name is Kyle Daugherty. He has been on the show before. It's been several months, but he's been on before. And we went back and forth, did a mock draft, picks 1 through 17. I'll set that up here in just a second with Kyle. And then we're also on Wednesday's show going to finish out the mock draft and talk some of the big storylines. We recorded this on Monday right after the Chris Paul trade was reported. Chris Paul going from Oklahoma City to Phoenix in a large trade that includes Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, and others, and a future pick going from the Suns to the Thunder. And we'll talk a little bit about that on Wednesday's show, as well as some predictions for the offseason, which I guess is really like the next couple of weeks. So that'll be the show on Wednesday. There isn't really anything else Timberwolves related that's out there news-wise. The moratorium is officially lifted on Monday afternoon, and so there was a lot of things that went down throughout the day on Monday. Nothing Timberwolves related again. The Bulls are going to, not issue a qualifying offer to Chris Dunn reportedly. And, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. He'll have some value as one of the better defensive point guards in the league. Robin Lopez is going to decline his player option with the Bucks and become a free agent. Jeremy Grant is going to opt out and become a free agent. None of these things super surprising. So that's basically the sort of moves that we're hearing about on Monday. Nothing major Timberwolves related, nothing major draft related. However, some things could give us some hints as to what might go down during the draft. For instance, the Bulls allowing Chris Dunn likely to walk implies that they're still in the market for guards, for playmakers, for players that they can play with Kobe White, that they can play with Lauri Markkanen. And, they've got a pretty stacked, not stacked, but they've got guys that are, they're at least paying a lot of money in the front court. So what are they going to do in the draft at number 4? Are they going to take a Killian Hayes? Are they going to take a Tyrese Haliburton? Would they take, LaMelo Ball if he slides to 4, if the Wolves take Edwards at 1? So there are some of these things that, can kind of tip the hand of different teams making these decisions just prior to the draft. So we'll see what goes down. We'll see if there's anything else that happens during the day Tuesday. We'll cover it first thing on Wednesday's show. And then without further ado, let's get into the mock draft here. The top 10 picks of the draft, picks 1 through 10, here with my friend Kyle Daugherty. All right, as promised, today we are going to start a mock draft. We're going to go picks 1 through 17. And of course, that covers the Timberwolves pick at 1 and 17. And I have with me Kyle Daugherty, a good friend of mine who is a huge NBA fan and also knows college basketball really well. How are you, Kyle?
Doing great, Ben. Thanks for having me on. Excited to do this this mock draft. It's been such a weird year where college basketball ended 8 months ago, but we're talking about the players throughout the last 8 months. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. You're telling me. I started talking about the draft in June after we knew it was being pushed, and I thought, oh, we have until October, so it's kind of on and off. I did a couple versions of the big board, and then now here we are in November, and the draft is finally happening. This is like the third different date that they've set for the draft. So, yeah, and NBA teams feel the same way. I mean, now I guess they have free agency, which follows like 2 days after the draft, basically. Well, it's technically pretty much already started. Yeah, I mean, NBA teams have been preparing for this draft forever too, so I'm sure they're all sick of looking at the same prospects.
Yeah, and I know we've got NBA news breaking. This is Monday when we are recording with the Chris Paul trade to the Phoenix Suns, and so a lot is already happening. I know the Lakers have traded for Dennis Schroeder as well, so a lot's going to be happening this week. So excited to see what the draft holds, and hopefully get you guys some good information.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a shock if before we're going to run parts of this on Tuesday and Wednesday, if there were some of these picks are actually traded in between. I think the way that the NBA is handling it this year is, I guess it's always, I think, up until a couple hours before the draft, they'll actually swap the pick, but then it'll be draft rights that are traded. So we'll see. I think we'll see a lot of movement leading up to the draft. I don't know how much movement we'll see during the draft this year, but we'll see how that all plays out. And also a reminder, Lockdown Live Wednesday night, we'll be covering that live with all the experts with David Locke and Chad Ford. It's the only place you can hear Chad Ford on draft night. And we'll be covering any trades and picks that happen on Wednesday night. So be sure to tune back in for that here on Lockdown Live. All right, let's go ahead and get into the draft. The way we're doing this is I'm going to take the odd picks and Kyle's going to take the evens. That means that I'll get the Wolves at number one and number 17. We don't know who each other are picking, and so we're going to do our best to keep track of the picks here and not get too lost in the wash here. But we'll go ahead and get started, give a quick thought as to why we're making the selection we are. We're going to pick based on if we were that team, who we would pick. We're not predicting picks. There's obviously, we don't have inside information on any of these picks, and there's no, you know, this isn't us just predicting who's going to go to which pick. So I'm going to try, we're both going to try and pick the best fit. So for instance, even if Atlanta trades number six, at number six, I'm sure that Kyle will be taking the player he thinks fits the Atlanta Hawks best. Even if, you know, it may be somebody trading up to get a Tyrese Haliburton or whoever, as the rumor has been recently related to the Wolves. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get into this. So pick number one, the Minnesota Timberwolves on the clock. For the Minnesota Timberwolves, this shouldn't be any surprise to anyone that's listened to the show over the past few months, but I am taking the number one player on my big board, and that's LaMelo Ball. I think that even though he's an imperfect fit for the Timberwolves, I think he's the best option of a number of imperfect options because I think the Wolves' offensive ceiling with two creative ball handlers and D'Angelo Russell and LaMelo Ball will be extraordinarily high, and this very easily could be a top five offense. Yes, Ball has some shooting questions, but his free throw shooting is good enough. His shooting touch in the paint is good enough. I think he'll improve. And also shot selection had a lot to do. He didn't have much talent around him. And if NBA coaches can get him to be a little smarter with his shot selection, a little more judicious. Defensively, there's obvious concerns, but the Wolves already have some defensive issues. And by picking one, I mean, the other options here don't make sense. James Wiseman isn't a fit with Towns. Anthony Edwards, I don't like as a fit with the Timberwolves because of you know, many concerns I've talked about, mainly defensively, also some of the shooting efficiency. So what are you going to do if you can't trade back? And that's the other rule with this draft that we're doing, the mock draft, is we're not doing any trades. So I think LaMelo Ball is the best all-around fit. What are your thoughts on Ball to Minnesota?
So I've never been very high on Ball, but that's my very unprofessional opinion. But I have a hard time seeing, you know, we haven't seen him in any really organized basketball in probably 3 or 4 years with the high schools that he played at. It was the influence that his dad has, just a crazy thing to bring into your locker room. And then his moving to Australia with, you know, good basketball, but who knows what the comparables are to the NBA. I think the problem that you have is when you have the number one pick, you're kind of painted into a corner where you have to choose one of a couple people that think is the best. And so sometimes you don't actually get to choose the player that you want the most, but you're chosen of just who people think you should choose. And so I think that puts Minnesota in a tough position, but I think it's kind of like you said, it's the least bad choice of the three options that people have projected number one for a couple months here.
Yeah, and to be clear, I do think LaMelo Ball is the best prospect in this draft because, and I've said this before, but I think he's got his elite court vision and passing ability is far and away the best number, just the best single skill in this draft. And I think that puts him head and shoulders above anyone else. Yeah, Anthony Edwards has a great size, athleticism, physicality combination. James Wiseman has some of those same tools and projects as a really exciting, you know, 7-footer in the league. And there's some other individual impressive skills, but I think that LaMelo Ball's court vision, passing, all those things combined is above everyone else. And so while the fit's not perfect, this is the classic case of me just saying best player available. That's what I would do with the number one pick. And you can also see why the Timberwolves want to trade the pick, because if they can slide backwards and pick up, you know, anybody else that's maybe a better fit, but taking, you know, say a Devin Vassell or a Tyrese Haliburton or whoever, number one, isn't the best use of your asset. And so I think they're still trying to trade back as we record this, and who knows, maybe they will by Wednesday night. But and I should also mention that the steam right now is that the Wolves are going to take Anthony Edwards first around the league. Most of the mock drafts released this Monday have said that. So I'm, again, not predicting that they're going to take Ball, but I do think that they should take LaMelo Ball first. All right, before we get to Kyle's pick for the Golden State Warriors at number two, let's talk quickly about the Lockdown Live show coming up on Wednesday night. The NBA draft is finally here. The Lockdown Podcast Network will have live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Locked On Live. It will be the only place that you can find Chad Ford, the GOAT of draft analysis, on the night of the draft. Join Chad, Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, and David Locke for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, and get alerts as soon as they go live. Let's also talk about our great friends at Built Go. Bilko is the best workout gel on the market, bar none. No matter what your wall is, if it's mental or physical, you can break through it every single day. I know I'm going to need it on Wednesday, doing podcasts, blog posts, watching the draft, reacting to the draft live for Lockdown Live, writing my reaction pieces, recording my reaction pieces. I'm going to need plenty of Bilko to break through my physical and mental wall, I guess, on Wednesday. It's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages, put it in your briefcase, your backpack, your golf bag, your pocket to get through your day. Bilko is the best workout gel on the market. It's just like a 5-hour energy, but without the same crash feeling, and it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third the caffeine and better results. You can get it in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, and chocolate mint. It combines energy gel with collagen protein, and it's loaded with other good stuff to help ignite you as you work. Beta alanine, vitamin B3, honey, a kick of caffeine. Visit Bilko.com. Use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at Bilko.com. Let's go. All right. Moving on to the second pick in the draft. That's the Golden State Warriors. And that means that, Kyle, you are on the clock.
So I worked through the even picks, as you mentioned, off the top of the show. And I wanted to first look at positional need. I thought that was just a key point to look at. And the Golden State Warriors are such an odd place to be in right now. It's not very often that you end up as being one of the teams that have a ton of talent and are drafting high. Usually you're rebuilding a team or the team is in shambles. And so, I almost compare this to the Pistons when they were drafting, number 2, I believe, in 2003, obviously a different place, and not to compare my pick to Darko Milicic, but you know, it's going to be an interesting, fit as we go forward. And so, as many have said, the big three are going to be back with Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, and Draymond Green all coming back and being healthy this year. So my pick is going to be, James Wiseman from, Memphis. Played a few games there this year, very limited sample size. As Ben mentioned, we're not trading, and this has been a pick that's been rumored to be traded since the draft lottery show. I think he is the best fit from day one to be somebody that can either be in their starting lineup as a center or come off and be a key rim protecting big for them. They don't really have many folks on their team that can protect the rim at this point. They have Kevon Looney and Marquise Chris, I think James Wiseman has the physical tools to be better than them long term. He'll have a different type of pressure on him as a number 2 pick. He won't have the full leash to do whatever he wants, but I think he'll be a good fit there in Golden State. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I like the fit, or I like the pick, I should say. I think Wiseman and Golden State makes sense. I think given the other options on the board, I really don't think they would in real life actually go with Anthony Edwards for some of the same concerns that I have. And like you said, positionally, I think that Wiseman fits a need that the Warriors have, and they're reportedly pretty high on him. And it's for at least for a period of time, teams around the league were working under the assumption that the Warriors were going to take Wiseman. So I think that's fairly likely. I do think that, you know, the Warriors, like, you know, they have their famed death lineup and they like to play small and all that, but every year they've been operating under, they bring in kind of these mercenary big men on affordable deals to kind of play the five. And, you know, they tried to do that with DeMarcus Cousins, and Marquise Chris is another example, and going all the way back to Andrew Bogut and everybody in between to find these guys to play a certain number of minutes and then rotate out of the game down the stretch. And Wiseman can do that at, you know, he's going to be more expensive as the number 2 pick in the draft than some of these other veterans, but he also should have a greater impact. And, you know, there's also going to be trade value there too. That's the other thing to consider, not just on draft night, but maybe at the deadline, or maybe after one season when they decide whether or not Wiseman's a good long-term fit. As long as it doesn't have an awful rookie year, there's going to be trade value there with him too. And so I think we have to consider that as a possibility.
Yeah, and I think we have to look at, you know, every time we go into an offseason, we look at what won the NBA that previous year. And the Lakers were obviously the winners of the championship just a couple months back at this point. And they won, and they had very big lineups. And so is he something that they add to their lineup that's different than that when they won 3-4 years back, where they have the ability to put Wiseman? I can't say that he can guard Anthony Davis from day one, but is he somebody that slows down any bigs on other teams?
Yeah, and that's a good point too. That they always need that big body that can guard. I mean, yeah, Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns. Hopefully, if the Timberwolves are good, all these big men that the Warriors are going to encounter in the Western Conference, they're going to need an answer to that. Phoenix is obviously up and coming, and they've got DeAndre Ayton. And in a way, you know, we've seen Bam Adebayo take the Heat to the finals as their second best player, and James Wiseman's a very different player than Bam Adebayo, but we see a little bit of a resurgence of the big man, at least of switchable big men. And that to me is one of the biggest concerns with Wiseman. In fact, I feel like I could make an argument. We'll get to Onyeka Okongwu here soon, but I could make an argument that Okongwu is actually the best big man in this draft, mainly due to his ability to move laterally, which is something that James Wiseman doesn't do great. But that said, he's still a 7-footer that can block shots. There's a lot to like about James Wiseman as a prospect. All right, that brings us to number three. That's the Charlotte Hornets. And the steam around the Charlotte Hornets is that they want a big man and that they're pretty content taking whoever of the consensus top three falls to them, whether it's LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards. And there have been rumors that the Wolves have gotten somewhere in engaging in trade talks with the Hornets if Charlotte wants to move up and take Wiseman number one. Obviously, we're not doing trades, so in this scenario, that didn't happen. So if Charlotte's at three and things play out as they have in our mock draft with Ball one to Minnesota, Wiseman number two to Golden State, does Charlotte then take Anthony Edwards? The consensus, you know, most people would say yes, but there's also the Onyeka Okongwu thing that's out there that Charlotte may think he's the best big man in the draft, which is one of the reasons why they may not move up to number one, because if they're at number three, they're basically guaranteed either Wiseman or Okongwu, and would they take Okongwu over Edwards? This is a little bit of a curveball in the whole thing, but I'm going to go with Onyeka Okongwu number three because I think that the Charlotte Hornets, they feel good about their backcourt. They feel good about Devontae Graham. They feel good about some of these other wings and guards that they have. They have Terry Rozier. They have some of these other young wings that the Wolves are surely asking for Bridges. They might be asking for PJ Washington in some sort of a trade back for Minnesota, trade up for Charlotte. And I think Charlotte instead will hang on to those guys. I think they'll take Okongwu at number three in this scenario. Okongwu is a better defensive big man than James Wiseman. There are, probably unfair comparisons between Okongwu and Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat, but he's that type of a big man where he is, he's very switchable. He's mobile. He can play in the pick and roll. He has a little bit of a jumper that it seems like he can add some range to it. Maybe even will have more range than Adebayo initially as a pro. But there's a lot of upside there. Good touch around the rim, good rebounding. And I think that Charlotte is probably going to, in this scenario, would go that direction instead of plugging Anthony Edwards into what's already a crowded backcourt and wing position in Charlotte.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I think I had for Charlotte, we talked right at the very top of your segment there that we thought big was the first thing that they needed. And I think if you have the opportunity to take a big that you think is great, I don't put yourself in a position to think that a mock draft should give you the player to pick. I just pick best player available, and I think he's the guy to go with.
All right, so that means that we are on to number four, and we've already had kind of the way the first three picks have played out has been pretty weird. So Chicago Bulls are on the clock. That's you, Kyle. Who are you picking for the Bulls?
So Chicago's a really weird team. I think when you look at their roster, you have to really consider that they have a new leader of their front office, Arturas Karnišovas. He's coming from the Denver Nuggets, and so he was a big piece in delivering them Jamal Murray and Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. And some of their big drafts that they've had over the last couple of years. And so I have a feeling he's going to really want to make a statement with this draft. And I thought, they have LaVine, they have Coby White from last year's draft, they have Markkanen, they have Wendell Carter. So they're stacked with early first-round picks that they've gotten over the years. And so I really think the best player that fits this is going to be Edwards at this point. I had a different player in mind, but you threw me that curveball with Ngwunku going three. So I'm going to go Edwards. I think he's going to be a good fit in Chicago because he's obviously not going to be able to take any shots because LaVine's going to take all of those, so you don't have to worry about that. But I think he's going to be a good person to pair up with Billy Donovan taking over there, and I think Anthony Edwards is a really untapped resource at this point, and I think he's got obviously tons of talent, but you have to develop that talent. So I think I'm going to go Anthony Edwards with the number four pick to the Chicago Bulls.
All right. Already this is very weird, so that's good. Number five in the draft then is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Cleveland, I think – If Anthony Edwards would have slid one more spot, they certainly would have taken him. At this point in the draft, there's a lot of people thinking that Denis Avdija is going to be off the board right in that 4-5 range. But Cleveland really, they need everything. Last year took Darius Garland 5th overall, and they continue to have a need in the backcourt. But they also could use really just talent. They probably have the least amount of roster talent, maybe second least amount of roster talent in the entire league. So for the Cleveland Cavs at number 5, I'm going to go with Obi Toppin, the big man out of Dayton. I think that you can make an argument that Toppin was or is the best. I guess the better way to say this is he was the best player in college basketball last year, at least in terms of his offensive, what he brought to the table, his offensive versatility. He's a target I've been talking about for the Timberwolves if they were to trade back. I really like the fit with him and Karl-Anthony Towns. For Cleveland, they can pair Darius Garland with him. They can pair their other young wings and guards with him. Toppin is a three-point shooter. He's a monster in the pick and roll. He's a monster in transition. His best case, his best case comp that everybody talks about is Amari Stoudemire. His worst case is something like Derek Williams. I think it's very likely he's somewhere in between. But I do think he's more part Stoudemire than he is Derek Williams if you watch his offensive game. There's some defensive concerns, but you can say that about everybody that's gone off the board so far except for Onyeka Okongwu. So I think Toppin goes to Cleveland at number 5.
Yeah, I think he's a good pick there. And as you mentioned, he was dominant at the college level, and some of that can be to the point where he was more developed than most of the players he was playing against. He's coming out as likely the oldest player in the draft. He's just over 22 years old, and that will fit the timeline from a Cleveland that has some younger guys. So hopefully he's able to bring some more maturity to that. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right, so just resetting really quickly, what we've got so far is number 1, LaMelo Ball to the Timberwolves, James Wiseman 2 to the Warriors, Onyeka Okongwu 3 to the Hornets, Anthony Edwards falling all the way to 4 to the Chicago Bulls, Obi Toppin going number 5 to the Cleveland Cavs, and that means that the Atlanta Hawks are on the board with the number 6 pick in the draft. Kyle, who do you have the Hawks taking?
When I did some research on the Hawks and was preparing for this pick, I really thought the Hawks needed wings, bigs, defense. And so, they've got a ton of offensive capabilities with Trae Young and with John Collins. They added Clint Capella last year. But I thought who's the best playmaker wing that's still in the draft? And I went with Denis Avdija. I think he's a really good fit there to be a wing for them, to help take some of the playmaking ability off of Trae Young. Trae Young can obviously score off the dribble, but I think giving him the ability to maybe go off ball for a little bit, I think is a good fit for them. And I think he's got a ton of experience over in the Euro leagues. And so he may be just 19, but he's got a lot of years under his belt already. So I think that's who I would pick if I was the Hawks.
Yeah, that's what I would have done there too. I think there's been a lot of talk lately that he's not going to last quite that long, that he may be the guy that goes after that consensus first tier. He may go as high as 4. Golden State's shown some interest as high as 2. I'd be surprised if they took him, but if he's on the board for the Hawks, I do think he's a good fit with the roster. They've got some guards, they've got a few nice wings, but they don't have that many playmakers on that roster, and they don't need a big. So yeah, I think that's a good pick for them. All right, that brings us to the Detroit Pistons at number 7 in the draft is the Detroit Pistons. I have the Pistons taking Patrick Williams, the wing out of Florida State. He is probably more of a 4 than he is a 3 at the NBA level, but he is the quintessential kind of 3-and-D, of the modern NBA, who's switchable. He should be able to guard 4s and 3s, probably some 2s, maybe even some 5s because he's got really good size. And he's someone who's really rocketed up draft boards, and this might be a little early for him, but he started, most people thought 6 months ago he was going to be a late lottery pick, and now he's firmly in the mid lottery in most mock drafts. He's 6'8 with a 6'11 wingspan. He's smart, he's athletic, he's a great team defender and a very good help defender. He can block shots. His size and athleticism lets him guard bigger players. He could use some consistency when it comes to his shot, and there's going to be some questions regarding his form. He has a little bit of a slow release, and he has turnover issues too, but you put him in a place like Detroit and he could be a focal point in their offense next year. If Detroit stands pat, if they hang on to Luke Kennard for another year, they've got some pieces there, but they're, along with Cleveland, these are probably the two rosters with the least amount of talent right now in the NBA. And you take a guy like Patrick Williams, he's a high floor, but still a relatively high ceiling type prospect. And I think if he's on the board, that's what Detroit does at number 7. What do you think about that?
Well, I actually had Patrick Williams as my number four pick if Anthony Edwards would not have fallen to Chicago Bulls. So I completely agree. I think he's got a ton of talent. He's may not have shown great percentages shooting the ball at college, but he was a good free throw shooter, and that really carries over for what I can tell from a shooting touch perspective. I watched a ton of Florida State. I'm a big Louisville fan, so watched a lot of games going against each other, and he was always a focal point from a defensive perspective, and always I think that gives you the point of it. He's going to be at worst a 3-and-D guy for you with the ability to grow his offensive game and be better from there.
All right, so Patrick Williams off the board to the Pistons at number seven. That brings us to the New York Knicks, and Tom Thibodeau is head coach, new front office. And number eight, who do you have the Knicks taking?
So a lot of what I've seen is that they are not convinced that Frank Ntilikina is their starting point guard going forward. I don't think I don't think he can be the guy that they have long term successful there. So I have Tyrese Haliburton. I wasn't expecting for him to last this long. Great playmaker out of Iowa State. Really high IQ guy. Comes in with some maturity. I just think he's going to be an adult in the room, which you don't usually get out of rookies, and I think he's going to fit really well with Thibodeau. I think, you know, he's obviously got the defensive chops to play there, but I think he's just got a really good kind of old school type game that I think will fit really well there with the Knicks.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely what I would have done at that point if I were the Knicks. Haliburton, I'd be actually surprised if he lasted all the way to the eighth pick. He does have the size and the defensive ability that Tom Thibodeau is going to look for in a wing. He's not ultra athletic. He could work on his one-on-one defense a little bit, and there's some shortcomings there, but as a team defender, a smart player, a good shooter, a solid all-around player, he's somebody who we talked a lot about here on Lockdown Wolves as a Wolves target, potentially in a trade up from number 17, or if they were to trade back from number one, as someone who could kind of plug and play as a two guard next to D'Angelo Russell, secondary playmaker, and just a really good catch and shoot guy too. So I really like that pick for the Knicks at number eight. That brings us to number nine. Pick number nine is the Washington Wizards. And I'm going to pick for the Washington Wizards, Devin Vassell, the wing out of Florida State. He is, in some ways, there's a lot of similarities between him and Patrick Williams, his former Seminoles teammate. He's a little bit more of a classic 3-and-D player, 6'7", 6'10", wingspan. He's more parts three than four at the NBA level. He's still not even 20 years old. And he's shot 42%, just under 42% on three-point attempts over 2 years at Florida State. He's an okay defender. He's not quite as good defensively as Patrick Williams, which is one of the reasons I think Williams might go higher. But he is a better shooter and a little bit more versatile in that he should be able to guard the two, the three, and the four. Although he's not a great defender at this point. He's got the size, he's got the instincts, and he's a good team defender. So there's a lot to develop there. He's another guy that's kind of hung around this range in most mock drafts, right around the 8 to 12 range. And I think that's where he ultimately goes. In terms of the fit with the Wizards, basically they're another team. They just need roster talent. Obviously they have Bradley Beal, but for how much longer we don't know. John Wall is eventually going to come back. And so really this is kind of a best player available thing. In my opinion, I think he's the best player on the board. And so I think the Wizards are a good landing spot for him.
Yeah. I had him, in my mock. I was going to pick him next to go to the Suns. And so, I think it's a great pick for the Wizards. I think, as you mentioned, more roster talent for some of those teams in the bottom part of the Eastern Conference is just necessary to keep going on. So,
all right. So Devin Vassell goes number nine to the Wizards. That brings us to number 10, and that is the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns, of course, just acquired just hours ago, agreed to acquire Chris Paul and Abdel Nader from the Oklahoma City Thunder and traded out Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, and a couple other players. So I don't know if that changes what they do here at number 10, but they did retain the pick. They didn't trade it as part of this deal. So what do you think the Phoenix Suns will do at number 10?
So going into this, prior to that trade, I was really, they needed somebody to help Rubio out at point guard. And obviously Rubio's is going out in that trade with Oubre. And so, and Chris Paul's coming in. So I don't know that they necessarily need a lead guard in the way that they needed prior to this draft. And so, or prior to this trade. And so I'm actually going to go with, almost a, Kelly Oubre replacement, a little cheaper, version of him, obviously with the draft, pick compensation. So I'm going to go Isaac Okoro from Auburn. He's going to be really good from a defensive perspective. You won't necessarily need him from the offensive side. They've got a number of options there with Johnson and with Mikal Bridges and obviously Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. So Okoro is a guy that you can bring off the bench in Oubre's spot and play a key spot from a defensive perspective and work to develop him from there. He's very raw on the offensive side, but has a ton of upside on the defensive side, and I think that that's going to be really key as they go forward this year.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think that's another best player available likely on the board. Okoro is going to be a really good defender from day one, and he's another player the Wolves are pretty interested in, reportedly. And this is probably the range for him. It's tough for me to see him going inside the top 10 too high because of those offensive limitations, but the Suns have plenty of offensive firepower, and Booker needs support on the wing, and I think that Okoro is a good fit there, so that makes a lot of sense. All right, we're going to go ahead and get back to this on Wednesday. We're going to finish out 11 through 17. I'll make the pick for the Timberwolves at number 17. We'll see how the rest of that fills out. And then we'll talk about some draft predictions, just some general predictions about the draft and the offseason, which are all happening in basically the next 2 weeks before training camps kick off in December. So that will be the focus of Wednesday's show. And then, of course, Wednesday evening, we will be on Locked On Live discussing the Timberwolves pick along with David Locke and Chad Ford. Also on Wednesday, of course, I'll talk about any breaking news that happens before the draft, as we've already seen a couple of trades, a couple minor ones, a big one happen on Monday. So between Tuesday and Wednesday, anything that happens, we'll talk about on Wednesday's show. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the tea. And also remember, this is a daily show Monday through Friday. So we'll be with you the rest of the week talking pre-draft, post-draft, and all other stories that come up. And then, of course, back all next week talking free agency and trades and everything else that's going to happen over the next couple of crazy weeks in the NBA world. All right. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.